Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're going to challenge a really major assumption about manufacturing.
A foundational one, really.
Exactly. For decades, the labor workforce has been seen mainly as, you know, an HR function.
A cost center, something to be managed and minimized.
But what happens if we start looking at it as a cost and start seeing workforce strategy as a core operational lever?
One that dictates the speed and the quality of everything else you do.
That's the critical pivot our source material really gets into.
It is. When you think about a modern factory, you picture the robots, the tech, the optimized flow, but the research we're looking at stresses that labor staffing is actually a core discipline that directly impacts throughput, quality, and, you know, your bottom line.
Okay, let's unpack that, because the fundamental issue for any manufacturer is just volatility.
Always.
You have demand that goes up and down, equipment that has its own issues, and then the biggest variable of all people.
The human labor market.
Trying to keep output consistent with all those moving parts seems, well, almost impossible.
And that's the goal, right? Consistency. But for a lot of facilities, the reality is that production schedules are constantly having to adapt to whoever showed up for their shift.
So the labor shortage is dictating the production schedule, not the other way around.
Precisely. So our mission in this deep dive is to really understand how a strategic workforce model flips that script, how it ensures the right labor is there when the operation needs it.
So let's talk about workforce strategy as that operational lever.
Mm-hmm.
The core idea here is that it builds resilience. We're not just talking about hiring more people.
No, it's about a balanced system. You need your predictable core labor for the day-to-day stuff, but you absolutely have to have access to variable labor for those peaks, for special projects, for anything unexpected.
And relying only on your own direct hires just makes you too slow to react.
It does. Internal recruitment is just inherently slow. A strategic external partnership, though, that can reduce all the friction.
It's like an operational buffer.
That's a great way to put it. It gives you fast access to vetted workers without that month-long onboarding cycle that just kills momentum.
Okay, let me play devil's advocate for a second.
Oh.
The classic argument against using external labor is that you lose knowledge, you lose loyalty.
Sure.
Aren't you just bringing in people who don't really care about the long-term health of the process?
That's a totally valid concern, and it's why the sources make a big distinction between basic temp placement and a strategic partnership.
Yeah.
A strategic partner isn't just sending bodies. They're specializing in matching people to industrial environments. They screen for, you know, physical capability, a safety-first mindset, even interest in the work itself.
So you actually get lower turnover because the people are a better fit from the start.
Exactly. They're better suited to the environment than, say, a generic hire might be.
And this is where the operational benefit gets, you know, really compelling. We think of staffing as a cost, but look what a stable model protects. You get faster scaling during a product launch. You get stable throughput, even if your internal hiring is slow.
And critically, you reduce downtime because you have reliable, quick access to skilled trades when a machine goes down.
The research also points to a direct link to risk reduction. You called it operational insurance.
It really is. I mean, think about it. You get improved safety because the labor is matched to the complexity of the task. You're not just grabbing someone to fill a gap on a high-risk job they aren't fully trained for.
And we absolutely have to talk about the overtime trap.
Mm-hmm.
So many places try to solve absenteeism or turnover by just forcing the existing staff into brutal overtime shifts.
It's the default move, and it's toxic. The research is crystal clear on this.
It's not just about the cost, the time and a half pay.
That's the obvious part. The real cost is the massive spike in operational risk.
The operator who's on hour 14.
Right. That's when fatigue kicks in, attention slips, a critical quality check is missed, a safety rule is bent.
That's where the real cost is.
And strategic external labor minimizes that. It keeps your core team focused and safe, and it prevents that incredibly costly, error-prone overtime strain.
Okay, so if we zoom out a bit to the broader labor market,
yeah,
we can't ignore the structural shortages that are hitting manufacturing so hard.
It's the new reality. You have retirements draining decades of experience out of the workforce, and you have technology that's constantly changing the skills you need.
So those roles that need precision, mechanical skill, a real focus on safety, they're just getting harder and harder to fill.
They are. But what I love is how the sources break this down into two very different types of needs.
Two distinct categories.
Exactly. And they each need a totally different staffing solution.
Okay, let's get into those. First up is the massive volume requirement.
Right. Think high volume, fast-paced operations, consumer packaged goods, food and beverage, auto parts.
Places where consistency is everything.
Everything. A small gap in staffing there creates a huge ripple effect. Throughput slows, and immediately you're forcing people into overtime.
Which, as we just said, leads to burnout and frustration.
Yep. So this is where staffing firms provide that scalable labor. They can cover short-notice shifts. They can handle seasonal demand.
They absorb that operational shock.
They do. It lets you hit those aggressive targets without taking on the risk of long-term hires.
And then what's the second category?
The second category is the specialized skilled roles.
The real technical experts.
Yes. This requires much deeper screening. We're talking about industrial electricians, maintenance techs, quality inspectors, CNC machinists.
The people who actually keep all the expensive automated systems running.
Precisely. And the consequence of a gap here is totally different.
How so?
Well, if you're short a few line workers, you slow down. That's not great, but you manage.
But if you can't find that one CNC
You
machinist.
could have an entire production line go down, or you can't even launch the new equipment you just spent millions on. So the value of a strategic pipeline here is that expertise in finding people with the specific trade background to get up to speed quickly. A delay in filling one of these jobs can cost a fortune in project delays.
Now, this is where it gets really interesting for me. The link between all of this and operational
Like
science.
lean and continuous improvement.
Exactly. It seems kind of counterintuitive.
Yeah.
Why is a stable labor force so essential for a framework like lean, which is all about minimizing waste, including labor?
Because lean depends entirely on stable, predictable workflows to even identify waste in the first place.
Okay.
If your staffing is always changing, if you're throwing new people on the line who aren't fully trained, you're just introducing massive variability into the system.
That variability is just
It's pure
noise.
noise, and it completely undermines any CI framework. You can't measure a bottleneck if the people doing the job are different every single week.
So a stable labor model reduces that noise.
It lets your teams actually see the real problems, maintain optimized processes, and make sure those CI initiatives are actually executed, not just sitting on a whiteboard.
Stability is the foundation for efficiency. And that stability, it seems, also feeds right back into risk management.
Absolutely.
You call it operational insurance against labor shocks. What are the big risks it helps mitigate?
Well, the list is pretty long. You get guaranteed coverage for absenteeism and turnover, which stops those unexpected slowdowns.
Yay.
You get shift stabilization, so your quality on the night shift is just as good as the day shift.
That's a huge one.
Huge. You can bring in specialized maintenance crews for a planned shutdown without pulling your own people off production. It's basically contingency planning for any disruption.
And what about quality? The sources suggest that when you're short-staffed, people are just forced to take shortcuts.
It's human nature. Unexpected assignment changes, pressure to keep the line moving, it all leads to more errors and defects.
So reliable, consistent staffing actually reduces rework.
It does. It reduces defect rates, it supports compliance, traceability, all of it.
And safety, too.
A huge part of it. When a staffing partner is aligned with you, they're screening people for a safety mindset from day one. Do they understand PPE? Lockout tab? They show up ready to contribute to a safe culture, not detract from it.
Looking ahead, then, strategic staffing seems absolutely critical for any company that wants to grow or adopt new tech.
For sure. Let's take expansion.
A new facility launch.
Right. You need to hire a lot of quality people on a very tight timeline.
That's a massive logistical challenge.
It is. And a strategic firm can manage that whole process, the high volume recruiting, the staggered onboarding, even managing the workforce on-site. It helps that new facility get to full capacity so much faster.
And what about automation? The old story was that robots would eliminate jobs.
That narrative is just, it's outdated, the sources are clear. Automation doesn't eliminate labor, it just elevates the
It
requirement.
changes the job.
Completely. It creates this huge demand for specialized technicians and advanced operators.
So the staffing models have to evolve too.
They have to. They need to find people with modern skills, people who can operate a complex machine interface, who have some basic programming literacy, who can troubleshoot on the fly.
So the staffing partners are now part of the digital transformation.
They're essential to it. You need them to find the people who can work with the robots, not be replaced by them.
Finally, let's talk about data, because the real shift here seems to be moving away from just filling today's empty shift.
From reactive to predictive.
Exactly. Predictive workforce planning. What kind of data is making that possible?
It's getting really granular. Advanced partners are tracking detailed skill analytics, absenteeism patterns by shift or by location, even productivity trends.
So you can actually anticipate your future needs.
You can. If you know that turnover for a certain role always spikes in the third quarter, you can start pipelining talent in the second quarter.
It makes the human side of the equation so much more predictable.
Which means you can integrate it directly into your capital planning.
That's the connection.
It is. You can't responsibly plan to buy a $10 million production line if you have no idea whether you can staff it safely and effectively on day one.
So the workforce data actually supports decisions at the highest corporate levels.
It links your people directly to equipment uptime and the overall lifespan of your facility.
We started this deep dive by claiming workforce strategy is a core operational discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And everything we've synthesized here really confirms it. When your lead times get shorter and customer demands change in an instant, workforce agility is a true competitive advantage.
It is. It lets you adjust your output faster and manage bottlenecks with way more control than a facility that's just stuck in a traditional, rigid internal hiring model.
It sounds like the best staffing firms have moved way beyond just basic temp placement.
They really have. They're integrating operational realities into their process. They're not just screening for a skill on a resume, but for suitability, the pace, the physical demands, the safety alignment.
That deeper integration is what leads to stability.
Sustained operational stability, yes.
So we'll leave you with this final thought. If capacity is your ultimate goal, you cannot separate your labor capacity data from your capital equipment planning.
There are two sides of the same coin.
So ask yourself, how much is poor staffing really costing your organization right now? Not just in payroll, but in quality defects, in rework, in that soul-crushing, unpredictable overtime. And how should that workforce capacity data be integrated into every single decision you make about equipment uptime and efficiency? If you start treating your labor like a predictable asset, your entire operation becomes more reliable.